If you all will turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And it reads, "Now as he was on his way to Jerusalem, traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this morning. Pray, Lord, that as you speak, you would allow us to be obedient, to hear the words that you have spoken many years ago. Father, we pray that you would speak afresh to us this morning. Pray that you would open our hearts to receive the message that you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, as we see in Luke 17, verse 11, one of the things we see is that Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's been traveling there for some time. And ever since Luke 9, Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem. And one of the things Luke is doing, and Luke is the author, so when I say Luke, I understand I'm talking about the author of the book, is Luke is reminding his readers of Jesus' destination, if you will. And when you think about Jerusalem and what's going to take place in chapters from now, Jesus' death, his passion, his crucifixion is about to occur. And this is what Luke is reminding his readers as they're reading this gospel. And one of the things that we see is that along this journey that Jesus is traveling, he stops at a couple of different places. And those places that we see in our text today is Samaria and Galilee. And for us today, those places might not mean anything to us, but actually, these places have some significance and why Luke would point out these places. And what's significant about these places is actually there's tension between these two places. There's tension because the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealing with one another. And the reason why, so basically they're enemies. And the reason and how we find this out is, especially if you think about the story when Jesus is at the well with the woman at the well. Jesus asks her for a cup of water, and the woman's response is, "How can you, being a Jew, ask me for a cup of water, seeing that I'm a Samaritan?" And Jesus' response to her is that if you only knew who I was and the gift that God was giving you, you would have given me a drink. And so during this story, we kind of see the tension that is there between Samaritans and Jews, that they really have no dealing with one another. But yet, it's amazing that you find in our story today is you have Jews and Samaritans actually in the same place and united together. And I think some oftentimes it's interesting how the trials, the tribulations in life somehow brings people together. Because here it is, you have people who are affected by this disease of leprosy, and yet you find them together. So no longer is it Samaritans versus Jews. but they're united. And what do you notice? That in unity, they see Jesus and they pray out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And it's amazing how that in their situations and in their trials, it's kind of echo in the microphone, in their trials and tribulations, one of the things that we see is that they pray out to God in the midst of their difficulty. They seek God. And you would think that at some level, how did they hear about Jesus? Where was it that they heard that Jesus had the power to heal, that Jesus had the power to deliver? Well, if you remember back in chapter 5 of Luke, Jesus also healed a leper before. And this time when he healed the leper in chapter 5, it was very different than the healing that we see in chapter 17. Because the leper, during this time, came to Jesus, and he poured himself out in front of Jesus, fell on his face, and said, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me whole." And if you know anything about leopards, leprosy is those who have this disease, they're always supposed to remain a distance from other people. So they were really like the outcasts of society. So once you inherit this disease of leprosy, you were basically kicked out of your community. And so if you had loved ones, if you had families, you would be abandoned or rejected because of this disease you had. It was forbidden by the law. It was actually the law that said, if you have this disease of leprosy, you cannot be in fellowship with others. So you can just imagine that being a leper at this time is how disgusting and embarrassing this might have been. I mean, just imagine not being with your loved ones, having to be separated because you have a disease that you inherited, and being rejected, not being able to provide for yourself or for others, even a job. I mean, no one would dare to buy anything or purchase any products from a person with leprosy. And the reason why, because they were considered unclean. And during this time, there were different classes. You had these people who were unclean, and you also have these people who were clean. In our day, you might think someone who was contagious versus someone who you might see is not contagious. And so they were treated from a distance. And in chapter 5, one of the things we see is that the leper actually poured himself out on Jesus, which is forbidden from him to actually do, to even come in the presence of someone, especially as pure as Jesus. But yet, this leper has that much faith in Jesus and in what Jesus can do, that he gives himself, and Jesus actually crosses over boundaries. And the amazing thing that Jesus does is he touches him. He touches the man, and he says, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And then in our story today, we have 10 lepers who have probably heard the story, to recall the story from chapter 5, and probably have heard the news that Jesus can heal you from this disease. If you had this disease of leprosy, basically you had the sentence of death. It's almost like being in prison with no parole. You basically know that in this place, I'm going to die. I mean, can you imagine having this disease of leprosy? I mean, how would you treat someone in our day? If you come before someone with this disease of leprosy, knowing the law forbids you from going near to them. Yeah, I'm sure we're Christians, and the Christian or the brotherly sister thing to do is to actually go and give that brother or sister a helping hand. But actually, it was forbidden by the law to actually do it. But the amazing thing is that Jesus crosses over these boundaries that were placed, and he heals those with leprosy. And they cried out, "Have mercy on us." And if you look with me at verse 14, one of the things you see is that it says, when Jesus saw them, I love in scripture some of the smallest things, and sometimes we can skip over the smallest phrases, such as, "and he saw them." Several times in scripture, you will see that Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on them. The passage that was read by Mackenzie in Exodus chapter 3. Did you notice the small phrase there? That when the Israelites were in bondage, they were enslaved to Pharaoh for 400 plus years, treated harshly, crying and praying that God would deliver them. But there was no deliverance. And they continued to pray. And at this point in their life, it seemed as if God had forsaken them. God had abandoned them. But yet, they continued to pray. I can only imagine if they prayed what these lepers were praying. "Have mercy on us. Lord, deliver us, your people." And if you read back in Exodus 3, there's a small phrase that says, a couple of small phrases that says, "And he saw them." He seen their affliction. He heard their cry. I think that's good news. That here it is, that in the midst of our crying out to God, in the midst of us coming before him, God actually hears us. And it may not seem like it in the moment. It may not seem like God is answering our prayers right away, but he hears us. And he sees exactly what we're going through. And if anyone, he can empathize through our struggles, through our pains. And as Jesus sees them, he says, "Go show yourself to the priests." Compassion without action means what? Nothing. I mean, here it is, Jesus has compassion, but he also precedes that passion with action. And he actually sends them to the priests. And you might say, why would he send them to the priests? Why would he not just heal them? He has the power to heal them. He has the power to deliver them. What might he be teaching the 10 during this time? Well, if you know in the law, if in Leviticus chapter 13, one of the things is that the priests were instructed to examine anyone who had a swelling of the skin or a shiny spot. And if that person, whether male or female, had a shiny spot on the skin or a swelling, the priest was to examine them. And if the hair in the sore was white, was deeper than the skin, that person was considered unclean. And again, they were kicked out of the camp. Basically, again, kicked out of the society. But the priest, very difficult job for the priest to have. He had to have discernment during this time, and it was actually Aaron and his Aaron's sons. And they had to use very wise discernment, because if you could potentially label someone as unclean, their life basically is destroyed. And in some cases, if the priest wasn't sure what the disease was, he would isolate the person with potential leprosy for 7 days. And then the 7th day would go and examine the person again. If nothing happened, he would take longer measurements and have the person isolated for 7 more days. Until this person eventually became clean or unclean. And so this was the priest's job, is that anytime a person is considered unclean or has leprosy, the priest was to examine them. And you might think, why is Jesus sending them to the priest? I think it's twofold. One thing is, Jesus already know he has the power to heal. That as he's sending them, he's basically declaring to them, you are healed. So really, it's up for these 10 lepers to actually go and follow the words of Jesus. And then the other thing is that Jesus actually answers their prayers. In the midst of them crying out to Jesus, he sends them and he answers their prayers. He tells them to go to the priest. You've prayed. There's many things I'm sure you prayed for. There are things you're standing on. Promises of God that you're waiting to be revealed. You're waiting to be answered. And if the Lord tells you to go, will you go? Will you go despite not even knowing the outcome? Knowing that eventually you can be faced with the harsh reality of your prayers not being answered. So here it is that these 10, you can read it for yourself. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. They obeyed the words of Jesus. And in those moments, they were cleansed. They followed his words. The Bible teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And as Jesus instructed them, they heard his words and they went. They trusted Jesus, not even knowing if they were actually going to be healed or delivered. And there's many people, you might have friends, families, who are wondering, how can you all sit there and trust someone who you can't even see? How can you continue to stand when you haven't even seen the prayers answered? How can you continue to hold on? But have you heard? I'm sure some of us, if not all, have heard that Jesus can heal, that Jesus can actually do the impossible. But do you stand on that promise? Or is it just, or is that just something you just know? Is the Bible something that we just read? Or is it actually something that we actually hold to? And as they continued, they were cleansed. And while, verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. How many people were cleansed? 10? How many people returned? Only one. How many people prayed? There was 10. How many people returned praising God? There was one. And you might be like me. I have a little uncomfortable because here it is that it's almost as if Jesus kind of gets upset at the 9 that doesn't return. Where's the 9? Why haven't they returned? And he somehow exalts the one and he praises the one who's returned to give him glory. Jesus sends them to the priest. And it's amazing how this one leper who returned Luke tells us he's a Samaritan. Luke points that out for a reason. Because sometimes you expect the ones, who do you expect to return and praise God? You expect those who are Christians to return and praise God for what he has done. The Jews, these are the people of God. And you expect that they would be the one who actually return. But yet, the Samaritan, whom you least expect, return to give thanks to God. Give glory. And he realized that he was healed. Have you thanked God for the many prayers that he has answered in your life? Have you thanked him for what he has done? Have you even considered that God has actually been at work in your life, transforming you to become new? One of the things that was taught to me before is that gratitude is a 24-hour prayer. That every moment in our life, we should be grateful. We should be thankful for what God is doing. But you might be like these lepers. How can I be grateful when I'm actually standing in the need of a prayer that's answered? And these prayers are answered. But yet, only one return to say thank you. And again, Jesus asked and he said, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was this one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Let me backtrack real quick. When we first met the 10, what did they cry out? Lord, have mercy on me. And then when this one returned, what is his cry now? Lord, thank you. The Lord answers prayers. The Lord hears us when we cry out to him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you're seeking God and you're standing on his promises, you have that hope that God actually hears each and every one of your prayers. He tells the man to rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The Samaritan received salvation because of his faith in Jesus Christ. You and I also have the same hope, the same promise, that we will receive salvation in our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Word. The first chapter of John tells us, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. And if we have faith in Jesus, we have this hope that we would also be made whole, that we would also be cleansed from our diseases. We would be cleansed from the sin that so easily entangles us. We will be cleansed from the sin that is actually destroying our life, the sin of leprosy. And it destroys us slowly. But yet, God was loving. He was mindful of us, and he sent his son to die for us. That we too might be cleansed. So my challenge for you today is simply, will you return to say thank you? Or will you forget what God has done for you? That in the midst of you're actually going, that God is actually transforming you and renewing you into His image. Simple message. Don't forget to say thank you. As we come for communion this morning, I want you to remember just what God has done for us. It's not a message of guilt. It's really a message of gratitude. Well, we have an opportunity to thank God for what He's done, despite exactly what we're going through. So if it is for you to receive communion this morning, and you want to lift God up and tell God thank you, I invite you to come and receive the bread and receive the cup. But come with a heart of gratitude. Come with a heart thanking God for what He's done. You have people you're probably praying for. Come already trusting that God is actually answering those prayers, that He's delivering those people. He's setting the captives free. Will you come? Miss Charlene and the band, would you come and play Be Exalted, O God?